Welcome back for another deep dive. This time, we're taking a look at Newbrosy of E Primary School and their approach to teaching history.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah, we've got all sorts of goodies to work with. Their long-term plans, curriculum goals, even some specific lesson plans.
Nice.
So it's really a chance to get a complete picture of how they bring history to life for these kids.
I'm excited. You know, it's always fascinating to see how schools connect their vision for history education with what's actually happening in the classroom.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. So let's start with their history curriculum profile. This is kind of like their big picture statement of what they want students to get out of learning history.
Right.
And one thing that jumps out right away is this emphasis on critical thinking.
Absolutely. They want their students to go beyond just memorizing facts and dates and really engage with the material. You know, analyze information, ask questions.
Right, like real historians.
Exactly. They want them to, you know, form their own interpretations of the past.
Like little history detectives.
Haha. Exactly.
I love that. And I'm already curious to see how this plays out in their lesson plans, but...
Oh, yeah, me too.
But before we get there, something else that stands out in their profile is their commitment to covering a wide range of historical periods and concepts.
Yes. They don't want history to feel like a bunch of isolated events.
Right.
They want students to see the connections, the patterns that run through time.
It's all connected.
It is.
And they have a really interesting way of achieving that.
Yeah.
They use what's called a spiral curriculum.
Have you heard of this?
I have, but I'd love for you to explain it to our listeners.
Of course. So you know how sometimes you cram for a test and then a week later you've forgotten everything?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Well, this school is combating that by revisiting important historical topics over multiple years. So, you know, it's like building a house. Each time you revisit a topic, you're adding another layer of understanding, making that foundation stronger.
Okay.
And the connections richer.
So you're not just learning about the Roman Empire in fifth grade and then never hearing about it again.
Exactly.
You're coming back to it, maybe in eighth grade, maybe in high school. And each time you're building on what you already know.
Exactly. It's like building a mental map of history rather than memorizing a bunch of disconnected facts.
Yeah.
Which is so important.
Now, I see they also have these knowledge concept drivers, these 10 key concepts that they use throughout the curriculum. Things like settlements, beliefs, conflict.
Yes. These are like lenses through which students can examine any historical period.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
So it's a framework.
A framework for comparing and contrasting different societies. Understanding causes and consequences of events. Making connections across time.
So instead of just learning about, say, the Roman Empire in isolation,
right,
students are encouraged to consider things like Roman settlements, their beliefs, how their society functioned.
The conflicts they were involved in.
It's a much richer, more nuanced way of looking at history.
Much
more than just like, here the emperors, memorize them.
Right, exactly. And this speaks to the school's overall goal of, you know, really helping students develop that deeper understanding.
Yeah, yeah. Now, to really understand how this all comes together, I think we need to look at their long-term planning, how they've structured the curriculum over time.
Absolutely. Let's do that.
So I've got their history curriculum overview table here. It looks like they've divided the content into two cycles, cycle A and cycle B. Can you explain how those work?
Sure. Each cycle focuses on different aspects of history and they alternate every year.
Okay.
So it's almost like having two different history textbooks.
Right.
Each with a unique lens for exploring the past.
So in cycle A, for example, the early years foundation stage, or EYFS, for those of you familiar with the UK system,
right,
focuses on helping students understand time and change.
Yeah.
Then in key stage one, it shifts to exploring important people. And in lower key stage two, it's all about way of life.
Makes sense.
And cycle B follows a similar pattern, but with different themes, like important events, technology, and conflict.
And they've designed the cycle so that each year students are exposed to a nice balance of different approaches to history.
Now, one thing that really intrigues me is how diverse the specific topics are. I mean, you've got everything from the Great Fire of London and the Gunpowder Plot in Key Stage 1
right,
to the Aztecs and the Industrial Revolution in Lower Key Stage 2. It's a fascinating mix.
It really is. And this is where that spiral curriculum comes back in.
Oh, right.
You'll notice how some topics reappear in different year groups, but with a different focus each time. Yeah. Like the Aztecs, for example.
They pop up a couple of times.
They're studied in both Lower and Upper Key Stage 2. But in Cycle A, the focus is on their way of life. Then in cycle B, it shifts to their conflicts with the Spanish.
So it's not just repeating the same information over and over again.
No, not at all.
It's building on it.
Exactly. It's providing those multiple entry points into history, allowing them to explore the same events or societies from different angles.
It's like peeling back the layers of an onion.
I like that analogy.
Now, all of this is fascinating, but I'm really eager to see how this translates into actual classroom practice.
Yeah, me too.
It's one thing to have these big ideas and plans, but the real magic happens in the classroom.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited to see what treasures we can uncover in these lesson plans.
Let's dive in.
Yeah.
All right, these lesson plans, they are really something.
Yeah. Spill the tea.
They are full of creative teaching ideas. Yeah. It's clear that this school, they prioritize making history come alive for their students.
Give me an example. What are we talking about here?
So imagine you walk into your history class, and instead of opening a textbook, your teacher plays the sounds of a battle raging.
Whoa, okay.
Swords clashing, men shouting, arrows whizzing past.
I'm already hooked. What lesson is this?
That's how they introduce the Battle of Hastings in Key Stage 1.
Oh, wow.
The sounds create this immediate immersive experience, and it gets students thinking about what they're going to learn.
Yeah, instead of just reading about it in a book.
Right. Exactly. And it doesn't stop there. To help students visualize the gunpowder plot, they have them create firework pictures.
Oh, that's fun.
Imagining what would have happened if the powder had actually gone off.
So they're not just learning about the date and the names involved.
No.
They're really getting a sense of the scale and the potential impact.
Exactly. And speaking of understanding, I see they use a lot of primary sources, too.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. From the Bayeux Tapestry for the Battle of Hastings to diary entries from Samuel Pepys for the Great Fire of London.
I love that.
They incorporate primary sources whenever possible.
It makes such a difference.
It does.
To actually see and touch these pieces of the past.
And they even have their students build a mini Roman wall.
No way. I wish my history classes had been that fun.
Uh-huh. I know, right?
But seriously, do you think these hands-on activities actually help students remember the information better?
You know, there's definitely research to support that idea.
Okay.
Engaging multiple senses, encouraging students to interact directly with the material. It helps them create stronger neural connections and encode that information more deeply.
It makes sense.
Mm.
It's one thing to read about these events in a textbook, but it's a whole other level to interact with primary sources, create your own representations of the past.
Absolutely.
Now, I also see they put a lot of emphasis on active learning in their lessons.
Yes.
It's not just about passively listening to lectures.
Not at all. The students are creating timelines, writing diary entries from different perspectives, even debating whether historical figures like Florence Nightingale are still relevant today.
Wait, debating Florence Nightingale? How did that work?
Well, the lesson plan suggests dividing the class into two groups. One group argues for the continued relevance of Nightingale's legacy, focusing on her contributions to nursing and healthcare.
Okay.
The other group argues against her relevance, perhaps pointing out that medical practices have changed significantly since her time.
That's such a clever way to get them to think critically and really engage with the material.
It gets them thinking about the impact of historical figures on the present.
Okay, so I'm really loving the creativity and thoughtfulness that went into these lessons.
Me too.
But I'm also curious, how does the school ensure that all these activities are aligned with the curriculum's big picture goals? How do they make sure students are getting a cohesive, well-rounded understanding of history?
That's where those knowledge concept drivers come in.
Oh, right, right.
Remember we talked about those?
Nice.
They're woven throughout the lesson plans, providing a framework for connecting the activities to those larger historical themes and concepts.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. Let's take the concept of conflict. We see it emphasized in the Upper Key Stage 2 long-term plan,
right,
where a whole cycle is devoted to exploring conflicts throughout history, from Roman Britain and the Viking invasions to World War II.
So then in the lesson plans,
we
see activities that target the concept of conflict.
Exactly, like the Key Stage 1 lesson on the Battle of Hastings,
okay,
or the Upper Key Stage 2 unit on the Border Reavers.
Which even includes a visit to a local Pelé Tower.
Right. So by consistently using these concept drivers across different topics and time periods, students are able to make those connections, identify patterns,
and develop a deeper understanding of the forces that shape history.
Exactly. It's not just about memorizing isolated facts.
It's about understanding the bigger picture.
Yes. It's like they're giving their students a set of mental tools that they can use to analyze any historical event or period.
And they're giving them opportunities to apply those tools in engaging in interactive ways.
Right.
It sounds like a recipe for success.
I think so. And it's clear that the school is committed to supporting their teachers in bringing these lessons to life.
In what way?
Well, they mentioned using resources from BBC Teach, organizing visits to local historical sites like Beamish Museum, and even having a membership to Tully House Museum for accessing historical artifacts.
So they're really invested in creating a rich and engaging learning environment.
Absolutely.
It sounds like a lot of work for the teachers, though.
Yeah. It definitely requires a dedicated and knowledgeable teaching staff, but I think the school is doing a great job of providing them with the resources and support they need to be successful.
And it sounds like that investment is paying off.
It seems like it.
This curriculum is clearly a labor of love, and it's inspiring to see a school that's so passionate about history and dedicated to teaching it in a way that sparks curiosity.
And a lifelong love of learning.
Absolutely. This deep dive has really opened my eyes to the possibilities of history education.
It's been great.
Now, I'm curious to hear more about how they connect history to other subjects.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like they've thought of everything.
They really have. And you know, another thing that stands out to me is how they connect history to other subjects.
Oh, yeah. Tell me more about that.
So it creates a more well-rounded learning experience for their students, you know?
Right. So it's not just history in isolation.
No.
Okay. So what's an example?
Well, in one of the key stage one lesson plans, they mentioned using the story UGG.
Yeah.
It's from their English curriculum to introduce the Stone Age.
That's so smart.
It is.
Tapping into students' existing knowledge.
Yeah, building those bridges between different subject areas.
It makes it all more meaningful when they can see how everything connects.
Absolutely. You know, it's not just about learning history in isolation.
Right.
It's about seeing how it connects to literature, to art, to science, even math.
I love that.
Like, for example, in another Key Stage 1 lesson, students create a fact file about King Charles.
No.
So they're not just learning about a historical figure.
Yeah.
They're also practicing their research skills, their writing skills, even their presentation skills.
It's like all the pieces of the puzzle are coming together.
They really are.
We've seen how the curriculum's vision, those concept drivers, the long-term plans, even the individual lesson activities, it all works together to create this really cohesive and powerful learning experience.
It really is impressive.
It is. And it's an experience that goes beyond just acquiring knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, they want these kids to develop a love of history.
Yes. To foster that curiosity about the past.
Exactly. It's not just about dates and names. It's about understanding the forces that have shaped the world we live in today.
It's about making history come alive, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Through hands-on activities, engaging stories, thought-provoking.
Wow. Those are great questions to think about.
Big questions.
And it really speaks to the power of a well-crafted history curriculum.
It's not just about memorizing facts.
No, it's about opening minds, sparking curiosity, igniting that lifelong passion for learning.
Well said. So on that note, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive into Newborough C of E Primary School's history curriculum.
This has been so fascinating. Thank you for taking us on this journey.
Of course. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you to our listeners for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed exploring this unique, inspiring approach to history education, and that it's given you some food for thought about the power of history to shape young minds and the importance of teaching our kids to think critically about the world around them.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.